friend. Or maybe it's later in the day for you, or you're not even looking at your clock. Praise God. It's morning here on the mountain, and I'm looking at chickadees who right now are on their own. They're not besieged by the blue jays who tend to move in on their feed here. And then I, of course, intervene. So there's this whole sense of what's my paradigm of who ought to be having breakfast with me this morning? Who has within them the right to be hungry and enjoy the seed? And it's fascinating how that rises up and places things in a certain category. And I think of it right now and stretch it back to the reflection I'd like to share with you. This sense of a core paradigm, a fundamental working image or pattern or model or exemplar, which is the way in which paradigm is defined or described. Something that is a model and working in you or me. We might say, well, our model is, and that's why I'm on this little podcast, my model is meditation. But within that, what's really working? What's the pattern? Not what is, but I want to say today, who is the exemplar? In our Christian tradition, in many traditions, there is a sense of life, light, and indeed a living God. And the radicalness, and I would say that word in all the rich ways in which it can be used today, the radicalness, the rootedness, the very being of being is within the paradigm of all paradigms, the exemplar of what it is to be, and to be in love, and to be in a relationship, and to be a chickadee or a blue jay, or to be a Dan Riley sharing with you, or to be to your very self, wherever you are at this very moment. There's one who is so fundamental to us, and that one is within us and has been from all time. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Christ is the head of the body, the church. Christ is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. And in all things, he himself might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness was pleased to dwell. Not 50% of the tank of gas. We're not here because we don't have enough. We're here because we don't know we have everything. There's an incredible truth of the fullness of life that if it took us over, would flow right into our capital of our nation and all capitals and places where there is conflict over who has what right now. There would be this opening to richness and bounty that comes right from the God who dwells within us and among us. The one who animates each of us, and while singularly dwelling within us, dwells among us and reconciles us, all things to himself. We hear again from this beautiful passage in Colossians, chapter 1, 12 to 20. Making peace by the blood of his cross, through him, whether those on earth or those in heaven. So everyone and everything everywhere is brought into this immediacy of this Christ who died and rose for us. And we sit at the center there, the core centric of that, the heart center is what core means of that, that paradigm, that outreach of God from there, from God's heart to our heart. And we often do it by meditation, by a bit of a quieting of our own heart, of taking time to enter into a more gentle time and a moment, a few moments somewhere, somehow, with an om, with a mantra of Christ, with a beautiful mandala. So many traditions have attempted to do what the one word suggests, and that is to help us be centered. the activity of coming to the center. And it's a beautiful thing, as people would say. It truly is, and that's the wonder that we have when we sit with each other here. You see, there are other paradigms. And then the fundamental one I'm suggesting that truly is ours. And by the way, in Christianity, it's the most orthodox, if you could put most in front of orthodox, of paradigms. There are lots of alternatives to the way in which we might preach or think of Jesus. So I can be thinking and preaching of Jesus in a lot of ways and provoking anxiety and disturbance because he's come to shake us up because we're sinners. Well, there's some limited truth in that. It's limited because it doesn't talk about the fullness. It doesn't bring us into what's happening already, the already right now completion of that, which would, I think, lead us to the wonderful temptation of moving towards the fullness, of seeking each other out and finding way into relationships. At a very time when in our nation and our world, we almost defy the possibility of becoming collaborators, companions on the journey, communicators with one another, we have this one in the core and says, hey, that's the first step. Open your hearts to one another because you have at the core of who you are one heart. Your paradigm is unity at the core of community. And so our pattern, model, exemplar will be practices, means, and ways of becoming engaged with each other. But as you and I know, and hopefully I'm not disturbing you, that's why we're sitting together. To find that space within us that says, oh, yes, be still and know. That coming upon the commonness of the radicalness of this Christ who rose up for us. I'm sharing this with you on the morning of the feast that's still called Christ the King of the Universe, and King is a self-conscious phrase for me anyway, and it might be for you, but what it really means is certainly not one who dominates or sits on a throne above us, but the one who is the center of everything and the responsibility that power has. So the all-powerful isn't the all-in-control one, but in our tradition, the all-powerful one is the one who dies for us. God's only Son, the all-powerful God, manifest in the all-powerful God made man, came among us, and love's great power became so vulnerable that it was poured out for us. And that's the center of it. That's the exemplar. That's the paradigm. And it has us awestruck. That teaches us silence. That act of love invites us not to shame or judgment, but healthy remorse and longing to change our lives for sure. And then an openness to the truth that beyond all things that seem to conflict, there is at the core of them a unity that would help us begin to live in community. In this one who's taught us how to be one by giving himself up for us. So I'm speaking in very strongly Christian terms today. I think they're so wonderfully, as Christianity is, at the heart of being human. To grow, to come full around to being human is to be one who sacrifices oneself for another. We've heard stories about that and seen it, where parents have literally laid their bodies over bombs to save their children. And here we are with a God who's assumed and taken on the concussion and breakage of the whole world to not only save us, but form us so that we would be healed and full as who we are, distinct in ourselves and one with one another. So let's enjoy the awesomeness of this. And if you're anywhere near chickadees, watch them dance today. They're so much fun and full of delight and seem to have simple needs. And that's a way in which they're Christ for me today. Among all the other things I might hunger for or look for in this morning's reflection, they invite me to seek that one thing, that one that is beyond all understanding, as Bonaventure would say. Be still and know that I am God. As we hear in Psalm 46, and as Greg and I and others join you in this time of year, each of us together in meditation for healing and union among ourselves and others, be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be. Have a most blessed day. And may a new paradigm, eternal love and life, awaken you.
Come to the feast of heaven and earth. Come to the table of plenty. God will provide for all that we need here at the saints and sinners are friends. I wait to welcome the lost and the Lord.